Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Let me call to order the Transportation Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council for this day. I appreciate everybody pushing it back a day. I loved, and this is not original, but I loved what I saw on social media that having a storm come up the coast is so far the most normal thing that has happened in our lives this year. And I think we all did it well. Our staff was well prepared and adjusted well, as did council. So I thank everybody for that. Our agenda is before you. Item one is call to order, which we have just done. Item two is approval of the minutes from the March 3rd meeting. Do we have a motion? We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor of approval of the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Public comments. Item number three. If you would like to make a public comment, please come to the lectern, give your name and address, and you have 2 minutes. Anybody? Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Jerry Wiseman. I live at 1324 Osmond Road. We moved down here going on 6 years ago. We bought our house 10 years ago, but my daughter lived in it for the first 4 years. Hamlin Plantation, as you know, has very much like the old village, the prices of the homes have gone up considerably. Construction is finished in there. There are over 800 homes and townhomes in there. And the reason I'm saying anything today is primarily because Matt Pinto, who would also like to speak very briefly, and I had requested last year through the Transportation Committee, Gary Ponder, and Gary was nice enough to work with us and did a survey, came back. They did it just before Halloween. But basically what it is we have on our road, and it's actually Osmond Road, and the agenda here says for speed humps, but actually the request was and or a three-way stop sign. It's a quarter mile. I call it a drag strip, because if you're familiar with the drag strip, the cars start at the very end of the road, which primarily cars coming from the back section, which has over 50 homes, in the morning, going to work, speed down the road. The parents speed down the road to get their kids to school. At night, we have the same issue. A lot of contractors going on that major road through our development. But actually, if there's a way to correct the agenda to read speed humps or three-way stop sign like the original request, and also it's Osmond Road.
Right.
Okay. There are approximately 50 homes on that street. Most of our front lawns are not as far as from me to you. Okay. There's a small sidewalk running long on both sides, but the net of it is a lot of kids on that street, and we're fearful that there will be a fatality with cars parked along the street, not at night, but during the day. Contractors park there during the day. We have attempted to do this. Apparently, some of the neighbors have gotten together a few years back, but some of the neighbors were very concerned about speed humps.
Right.
So that's where the three-way stop sign at Ellsworth, which is a street that bisects Osmond Road about halfway down. It would be a natural place. It's the cheapest solution. It's an easy solution for the town to put two stop signs in, because the other stop sign is already there.
Okay.
So in your consideration, from a safety standpoint, we would really appreciate it. I'd like to ask Matt, if it's
sure.
okay, to come up and speak.
You can speak next.
Any
we need your name and address.
Before I...
We will get a full, whether speed hump, stop sign, whatever, the whole issue that was looked at for Osmond, we'll get a report from staff on what the findings were on that.
Okay.
Matt. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
I think we went over 2 minutes, but I don't know if somebody has a timer. But anyway, about 2 minutes. That's all right. You were very polite. About 2 minutes, please.
Give me a minute and 30. That's all. That's good afternoon. I'm Matt Pinto. I live right next to Jerry on Osmond Road. I'm about four or five houses down from the exit, the back entrance of the neighborhood. So it's Hamlin Plantation, the subdivision is the Waverly, and it's Osmond Road that is of concern. So there's been two tests, just to educate you on the matter. There was two tests or two surveys done. March 2014 was the first one, and that 85th percentile is what we were told by Gary that we needed to go further, to take further action, either putting in speed bumps or stop signs. We were very close to the 30 mile an hour. We were 29.5 or 29.41, very, very close. And then the second test we did, or the second survey we did, was in October 2019. And again, the 85th percentile, we're at 29.0 miles per hour. It also indicated that 1,014 vehicles on average a day are traveling down this Osmond Road. That test, the second test, was done over Halloween. It was done the day before, it was done Halloween, it was done the day after, which is definitely not indicative of normal traffic flow going down this street. Just an aside, when I sit out there and I watch these, I mean, cars are flying down the street. Both tests proved that there was speeding, however, not to the degree required to take further step to put in either a stop sign or to put in the speed humps, they're calling them. But it was actually less than 1 mile per hour from that threshold. It's a shame that point whatever miles per hour is actually going to inhibit us from actually putting something in that's going to help the safety of our kids in the neighborhood. I currently have young kids that run around this neighborhood. Between these two tests, so the neighborhood's grown since then. So since that first test in 2014, the back half of the Waverly subdivision was added. So 115 homes and all the traffic associated with those 115 homes has been added. So since the beginning of this neighborhood's created and this long stretch was built, we now added 115 homes to the back side of that.
Is that 2 minutes? That's 2 minutes. All right.
Okay. And I'm about done. Really, it's human nature. I don't mind these people. It's not that I don't mind. It's human nature to go past the speed limit. But that's why it's upon us to put something physical there to remind them that, yeah, it's a straightaway. You're trying to get to work. You're trying to get home. But let's do something to fix this. The arguments I get against this is the first responder thing. They can't get there fast enough if there are speed humps there or stop signs. I'm a first responder. That's a moot point. Speed bumps don't stop me from getting where I need to go. And then aesthetics. I would hate for aesthetics to get in the way of the safety of my kids.
Okay.
So I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Sorry for going.
And it's on the agenda. We'll get more detail when we get there. Thank you very much. Any other comments? All right. Item four is employee years of service recognition.
Thank you, Mayor. We got two.
Great.
One was in March, and of course we weren't here, or March or April. Is James Aton. I'm going to ask James to come up, wherever we're supposed to do this, perhaps stand right here. James is our Transportation Operations Division Chief. He started, obviously, in 2015. This is his fifth year. He's a 2010 Citadel grad. He has a master's from Clemson. That's okay. And since joining the town of Mount Pleasant, he's attained his PE, his PTOE, which is a professional traffic operations engineer, and now he's working on your road safety certification. So obviously a very motivated individual, very professional, and has a desire to better himself and better the town. He's an adjunct professor at Citadel. So as far as community service, he's doing that also. A couple of projects he's working on right now, very exciting. I think he has a passion for bike and pedestrian, is our Mount Pleasant Way project, which is a multi-use path throughout the town. He's pushing DOT hard on on what we're going to do on 526 as far as bike and ped. So a lot of great things out of James in the 5 years he's been here. We're very happy that he chose the town. I think he's got a great heart for public service, and he's going to do very well, you know, assuming we can keep him for another 5 or 10 or 15, maybe 20 years. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But thank you very much. I guess we just have to do elbows and bumps, but I don't have a bag of rocks for him. To, well, we can take this. How about this?
There you go.
That's Daniel's, but they won't know.
James, thank you very much.
Where's Daniel? Why don't you come on up here real quick? Daniel, we have a little bit of the Charleston Mafia. He's a 2013 Citadel grad also, from the Citadel. Also,
is this a hiring pattern I'm detecting in our transportation?
No comment, sir.
All
no
right.
comment. He started off with Horace Pettit as one of our roadway inspectors in 2015. And he's shown great enthusiasm just to learn about the town, what we do, how we serve people. He's always, what can I do to help? Attacking things with that kind of attitude, and performs his work at a very high level. In 2018, he was offered the position of project engineer, which is working under Paul, to work on our capital improvement projects. And he's done a wonderful job. We're going to talk about one of the projects this morning, Wando Park Boulevard. Intersection improvements, the Maritime Port Maritime project, and that's me. Sorry about that. My dentist. Hope that's not bad news. So anyway, he's actually studying for his PE, which is something the town's encouraged and actually assists with in certain ways. And he's a can-do, no problem type of guy. And we're lucky to have him. So thank you very much for your 5 years, Daniel. And you know, once again, just like James, let's get 5 or 10 or 15
Ooh,
more.
You can't touch that.
Okay. Thank you.
You can keep this. You don't want me keeping this.
All right. That concludes employee service of years of service recognition. Item 5. Discussion and possible action regarding transportation impact fees. We wanted to look at this as a committee. We know the first reading at council was defeated, so it did not pass to lower the transportation fee, which it means to raise the discount on it. But we wanted to look at what the impact of that would be, what transportation projects would be affected or postponed by that. So Marcy, I'll just turn it over to you.
Yes, sir. So a little bit about the transportation impact fee. This was calculated on an improvements-driven approach, different from the other impact fees. And so it looks at the cost of increasing the capacity, and it's divided among the new service units. So therefore, the calculation came out with a maximum allowable impact fee of $450.53 per trip. This is currently discounted by 20%, so we pay 80% of the maximum, or $360.43 per trip. Annually, we estimate 1.9 million generation from this. The way that's calculated is that we have taken the town and looked at what's available and allocated it in 5-year chunks in our model. So all things being equal, we anticipate certain things to come during that time, and that's how we anticipate the revenue. If you change the discount rate to 50% instead of 20%, it would generate $720,000 less, again, based on our methodology, which is turning out to be pretty good, a pretty good method. And the next one I just wanted to show in the 5-year plan, when we look at the impact fees from 21 to 25, here are some of the projects. It's the last funding for Billy Swells Boulevard, Patriots Point Gateway. It has Stockdale Intersection at Park West in there. Some of the funding, some of the does come later. But you can see the projects. We don't zero it out to the very bottom each year because, again, these are models that are trying to project what we're getting, but over the 5 years, this is what we believe we can accomplish with these funds.
Is that the end?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I know council discussed this, we debated and we voted. I cannot remember what the vote was. 6-3?
Something like that.
I think 6-3 or whatever. I want to say, as one who was on council, we passed this and we started in 16, went in effect in 17, I believe, right? Started in 16. I was a council member then. If you haven't read the study by StanTech, take a look at that, and that gives you the reasoning behind this. And I'll say again, I sound like a broken record. It's not like setting dues to join our club, Club Mount Pleasant. It's because when whatever that discount is, the people making up the difference in that proven cost and strain on our infrastructure is our taxpayer. And so, you know, there's a fairness aspect here. There's a business development aspect here, because if your infrastructure failing, people don't want to come to your town. So it was not a decision that we arrived at easily. I wish it had been 100% for a period of time, and then when we got caught up, then we applied a discount rate, but it's at 80%. But still, the taxpayer has been funding a portion of this development that we've had, this unprecedented period of development in the town. So this gives us an idea from transportation where what these projects especially would be affected. Council has voted the first reading of the proposal to change this has failed. I'm not sure where this really leaves us, you know, parliamentary, but this is the information that we have. We were given that a little bit, Eric, at the first reading, but here we have delved into it. I don't think we had a spreadsheet like this, but this is great. So it gives us an idea. So that's what I have to say about it. I don't know about the other council members. Yes, ma'am.
I just share a couple sort of contextual comments on why we even brought this up, because one or two of us, both through economic development and finance, originally brought this back to the table. And again, when you couch something in the direction of, here are the projects we already know we're going to do and here's how we're going to fund them, and if we don't have this money, we're going to have to put them off for so many years, then of course any of us, including myself, including Councilman O'Rourke and others who originally had thought this was a thing to consider, would say, no, we don't want to put off. We know we need Billy Swales Boulevard. We know we need Patriots Point Gateway and so forth and so on. So this was never about trying to unfund or defund, rather, things that are already in the works. What it is a recognition of the fact that our biggest problem we have in funding services was housing, where we the calculation was done, it's been brought up many times, somewhere between 750 and 900,000 a house pays for the services based on what they're paying in taxes that are provided by the town, but everything else smaller essentially is being borne by others. But we were saying, but wait a minute, there's another way, and that is attracting more businesses, attracting more companies that provide services and jobs to our people. And there is a crossover point at which it's very hard to attract them if you charge X amount in impact fees. And so we've looked at that to some degree, and we did see a decrease to some degree in new impact fees from new businesses coming in. We've had a lot of business permits, but a lot of that is stay-at-home work and other things that that do not necessarily bring a whole lot of revenue right away. So the bottom line here is, I certainly understand, and I go along very much as a financial person with the idea that we don't want to put off major road improvements because this is extremely important for our town. And that was never the thought. The thought is, we have projections here on how much we're going to bring in based on impact assessments. But that's dependent on us being able to get the businesses, because anybody who's already here is here. It's the new businesses coming in that you get these impact fees from. And I'm just going to throw out one last thought, and then I don't know if that leaves it. I don't know that there's any motion to be made or anything, but one last thought is, just to use an example of a business like Costco. It's a, you know, business that, didn't they pay impact fees or did they not? No, they didn't, because of being in Carolina Park. Right, okay, so Costco. So Costco clearly has tons of traffic going in and out of their parking lot every day. Lots of people shop there. But how much transportation impact is there on the town of Mount Pleasant of Costco being there versus a whole lot of those people who were already members driving all the way over to West Ashley, crossing the bridge and going to the other Costco location. I still believe strongly when you bring services, goods, and jobs close to where people live, you actually reduce the overall transportation impact. So I think that more than likely it looks to me like this is going to die right now, but I do want people to know that the thought here is not to put off what we need. It's to make sure we don't end up creating a deterrent so we can't get businesses to come here, because Costco was able to get into Carolina Park, but how many other businesses are going to have to pay millions of dollars, or in many cases much smaller businesses that we'd love to have, just simply $250,000. That's a lot of money to a small business owner who won't come here. They'll go somewhere else because of it. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Corley, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. And Mayor, I think, Kathy, when you said anybody who's here is here, that may not be the case, right? There might be some folks that were here that are no longer here, especially with small businesses. And so I was interested in that as well. I always thought of the hamburger scenario, you know, are you going to sell a hamburger for $300? How many are you going to sell? Versus for $5. And also services in the north part of town as well. There's still definitely a lot of opportunity for people to come in and start some small businesses. And I just don't want to see it to a point where the only people that can afford to do anything is Costco or
big boxes.
Yeah. But those are my thoughts on that.
Okay. I think we'll continue to have this discussion down the road, and there is a happy medium. But we can continue to look at this and look at the trends and make adjustments down the road as we need.
This is coming back then? It'll come back.
Not right now. I mean, it died at first reading. It does not come back.
Sorry. I don't believe so. Recreation Committee took up the matter because it was sent by council, and they voted to approve sending it back to council. And I, for the same reasons that you were thinking of, Mayor, have a note on here to consult with legal whether it can even be brought back up and addressed by council again. So I don't believe an action is warranted by this committee but for this purpose. But I got to get with legal to find out.
Right.
So we were just discussing it?
Just discussing it, yeah.
Yeah.
Legal?
Okay.
All right. One question.
Yes.
I do have one question. I know this is really our capital plan question, but I was just wondering on these things that are mentioned here. So in the fiscal 2021 forecast, Billy Swales Boulevard having $280,000, is that saying that's money that will come based on our forecast of what we'll receive in transportation impact fees this coming year? Is that right?
Yes.
So when that's just do we have anything else about Billy Swales? No. When is that supposed to start, the next phase?
As soon as we get the permitting for it and close out design. Brad's here. Paul.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Under the update, be happy to do it now or then.
That's fine. Either way.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do it in the updates. Okay. Sure. All right, let's move on to item 6, update on status of request for speed humps or stop sign on Osmond Road in Hamlin Plantation.
Thank you, Mayor. And I just want to give a brief synopsis of what staff's actions have been on this matter relative to applications through our traffic calming program. And what you see here is this past February's annual submittal to the committee on recommendations from staff on the traffic calming program. If you're not familiar with the program, we have speed humps. We offer speed humps as traffic calming. All-way stops, and then there's also radar feedback signs for limited roads, more collector roads. So those are the offerings within the program. And we collect data, and we don't have a volume threshold anymore. We changed the criteria several years ago. We lowered the threshold for speed from 32 to 30 miles per hour, 30.00. You got to get above the .0. That's what the committee felt was a reasonable threshold value to start considering traffic calming. This particular roadway has had two applications, and that's been mentioned before by the previous speakers. In 2014, I believe at that time it was just for speed humps. You can see the 85th percentile, 29.41. 2019 was an application for both humps as well as consideration of an all-way stop at Ellsworth. And as far as the data is concerned, the speeds, 29.02, so that's almost a full 1 mile per hour below the required minimum of 30 miles per hour. That's the 85th percentile. The average would probably, I don't have that with me, but it's probably going to be closer to 25, 24. That's generally what we see with an 85th percentile like that. We did collect volumes for the always stop consideration, and that's what those criteria based upon volume. The volumes are pretty far away, very far away from the thresholds for those. And I say that because what we find, and we actually anecdotally, you hear people walk up here and say this, some people will be advocates for stop signs. The truth of the matter is they're very poor at controlling speed. They control speed within about, particularly in a residential area, within about 80 to 120 feet of the stop sign. And then if it's an unwarranted stop sign, you get roll through, which is another problem, another safety concern. So that's, you know, in general, that's why we would prefer to see a self-enforcing hump application as far as a treatment type. So those are the numbers. This was reviewed in February by the committee. It did not meet the criteria that time, was not funded. So I'll be happy to try to provide any more information on the application if you have questions.
If the residents are not, if people don't just walk away from this, what's their recourse? Reapply?
Good point, Mayor. I should have mentioned that. Yes, they would be, they're not eligible this year. They would be eligible in July of next year, 2021, to come back through the program.
Okay. And that would be, and we'd go through the process again?
Same process. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Generally, I'll have to ask Gary, but generally our police are aware of our applications. That they have their own program for in their traffic unit for those speed enforcement, targeted speed enforcement, and we can certainly make them aware of that. They can get it on their schedule for that, where they put out the trailers.
Yes.
I have, and this is to the folks that live in Hamlin, we have a situation in our own area in Dunes West that that they finally decided on a three-way stop area to put stop signs on the two coming from the main drag, and people just roll right through them. And I had thought all along speed humps would be get better, but I guess we didn't qualify for them for some of these same reasons, so they went with the sign because it's less expensive. And I just have to say, I was out running one day last week, and lo and behold, there's a Mount Pleasant police officer pulling somebody for speeding, because it is very dangerous. It's a curvy road, Cottonfield Drive. And I just want to say, if we could just do that, periodically the word will get out that they are pulling people. And even it doesn't have to be every day, it doesn't have to be every week, but just having them out there every once in a while, because that's the first time I've ever seen a policeman, and we've lived there 16 years, pulling somebody right there. And boy, there's nothing like the fear of getting a ticket, much more than running through a stop sign that nobody ever sits at. So that's the problem with those kind of stop signs. If you don't have very many people there, people roll right on through, and it's pretty awful. Yeah.
Do we have any extra radar signs flying around that aren't being used?
not ones that are easily put up, but I can certainly, Mayor and Ms. Landing, get with the traffic unit, and we can see if we can do some targeted enforcement. That's more, and I think they do this. I think once they're on a list, they kind of rotate through a regular schedule, but I'll be happy to, myself or Gary, to get with them. And that's what they put out, Mayor, is that,
right,
that radar feedback sign.
Right.
So people will know how fast they're going.
Right. And then if nothing else changes, we can always entertain another application next year.
Yes, sir.
Less than a year from now, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Any other? All right. We'll move along to the next item on the agenda, which is update on Maritime Port District, US 17 Mathis Ferry. Laura, I guess that has to do with the opening of Beckham High School.
Yes, the second one does. We're absolutely at Mathis Ferry. The first project, and I'll go through this quickly, I know we were pressed for time. We don't need to get into this so much except to talk about, we are about 30% into design plans, and I think everybody's aware we had a virtual meeting online that was very successful. It's the first one the town has done, and we're very happy with that. We're going to use that as a vehicle, outreach vehicle again. 950 views on that virtual meeting, 95 people signed in, so only about 10% sign in. We did receive some comments, 47 comments. If you recall, there's two alternatives. Alternative one, and this really has to do with the Hobcall Bluff Drive approach. This is the first alternative, which is a full standard three-lane approach where you have all turns from dedicated lanes. And then, of course, pulling back from that is alternative number two, which is a two-lane approach. The issue there is, obviously, if someone wants to go from Hobcall over to Wando Park, they're gonna block any right turn that could otherwise be in a right turn lane. So there's higher delay for this alternative. What we found is about, just as far as respondents goes, about 50-50 on which alternative was highlighted as their choice, the people responded. But what we're really trying to do and continue to work closely with Hobcall, the neighborhood, is what do they want? Because it's going to affect their interest the most as far as impacts to landscaping and signage. So they took a vote and they actually supported the alternative number one, which is the three-lane approach. Since then, we have had gone back, since that's the case, we've gone back to our engineer and say, we know the alternative three has some impacts on that sign. All things considered, and probably the neighborhood would agree with us, we don't want to touch that sign if we don't have to. So we've actually come up with a design. We've skinnied some lanage up and done a few other things where we don't think we have to touch the sign. And we think, we hope
the sign that's out on Long Point.
I'm sorry.
Or the neighborhood sign.
If you can point
yeah,
to
it. I got it right here.
Yeah. Oop, I just messed up. And their entrance feature sign.
It's this wall right here.
Right there.
Right.
So if you can see on number three, it gets right into the wall.
Uh-huh.
So we don't want to do that. Besides the expense, it's an aesthetic effect on the entry. So we have a design we think that we can stay off of that wall, keep the proper distance away from the wall, and hopefully they would be satisfied with that.
Does number one, and others have probably done this, I've been out to meet with them and look around, does number one, this was before their vote and everything, mess up their median at all? That was a big concern.
It does get into the median. I'm going to guess that that's about 5 feet. It moves into the median, but it still retains enough for us to do a landscape plan for them that can reestablish that landscaping.
Okay.
Maybe we save one of those rows of crepe myrtles, maybe not, but hopefully we could work with the neighborhood to say, what can we do to satisfy that concern there and stay off of this entry feature. So that is our approach. We are recommending to proceed forward with alternative number one, working closely with the neighborhood to satisfy any of the concerns they have about the sign and their landscaping. And if we can satisfied in there, then we will proceed with full design for alternative one.
So there's minimal disturbance of the median, their landscape median, and it doesn't touch their wall?
I mean, from my perspective, it's minimal, yes, sir. And if we can stay off that wall, that's a huge bonus for all of us. But I think we can really, as far as landscaping, make them happy with a new plan. I mean, we'll replant whatever they would like in that disturbed area to make it attractive. And so that's our recommendation, that, you know, if the committee is acceptable or finds that acceptable, we'll proceed in that manner to keep working with them. If for some reason we hit a wall and we need to come back to you and say we need to revisit and go back to alternative two, or do something.
Do you need a vote or just sort of a general consensus? That sounds like the reasonable way to proceed.
We don't need a vote.
I don't think we're at the point of voting.
It's just really keeping you informed on the process, and we have.
And they're a very active and engaged neighborhood, and trust me, if they're not happy, I will hear about it, and I will let you know. And you'll hear about it.
But yes, sir. We're going to absolutely do what we can to keep them happy.
All right. Next.
I won't get into the other side of the improvement. It doesn't change under either scenario, but basically it's opening up two dual left turn lane condition that just makes the intersection operate a lot better.
So sounds good.
We're moving forward with that one. The next one is the US 70 Mathis Ferry Lauda Drive. There is a tabular listing of the improvements. I think I'll just go to the improvement that you can look at here, and we've done a fairly extensive operational study with DOT to understand what's the best level of service we can get for the improvements. And I think we've looked at 10 different scenarios. This is the scenario that they feel that they can support. Essentially, what it does is on the northbound side, the south side of that picture there, we extend that left turn lane. You can already see that today, that we have some what we call spillback from that turn lane into the through lane. So the northbound left turn lane, other side.
Right down here.
Extend all of that, probably almost double its storage capacity. That's one of the improvements. On the north side, make the right turn lane for the southbound right turn lane a yield condition. That brings about more efficiency. You bring it out from signal control and let people perform a yield, because they don't really have a lot of conflicting traffic to deal with. They can just go. We don't have to keep them signalized. On the Mathis Ferry approach, we get in a lot more storage by taking out some of that median in there and get some efficiency in how we feed that with those improvements. And then on the venting side, instead of just having a two-lane approach where we have a left and a through right, just like we were talking about at Hobcall in that scenario, is we actually get three-lane approach. And that's going to be tight, but we think we can do it minimally. That greatly increases the capacity of the intersection. So that's the improvement that we would like to proceed forward with. There's been discussion about the desire by folks that are accessing Mathis Ferry via Lauda to have a signal there. Well, we have a pretty definitive no from the department, given the volumes are nowhere near the warrants, as well as the proximity of the existing signal. But what we do think is, with this improvement, we can improve some of the queuing issues that they deal with at that location, and really make the operations of that whole area better. So I just mentioned that because it's been discussed in the past about what about a signal there. We've gotten the answer on that, and that can always be revisited later for whatever reason. But at this point in time, it is no signal at that location. These are the improvements we'd move forward when design. So that's a quick update on where staff is going, unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think next we're going to let Paul go through his updates.
Paul?
Morning. Thank you very much. I've got some good news to report for our Pitchers Point Gateway Intersection Improvements Project. That project will kick off this fall with Waterworks relocating a large force main. And then the town project will come in right behind them and start the improvements. Also, SEDOT has notified us they are trying to find some additional resurfacing monies to put towards this project so that we can extend the limits of the resurfacing of Coleman Boulevard past Harbor Gate Drive. So we would try to get the road resurfaced with bike lanes at least to Houston Northcutt, and if not, or even further to Shrimp Boat Lane. So that will require some additional survey and some design work on our part, but DOT is trying to find the money for us to do that. So that's some really good news.
When is all this going to start?
Waterworks will start. I think they're trying to bid it very soon and start construction in November, and then we'll follow behind them in April.
Okay.
Of 2021.
Any questions on?
Next project is the Billy's Whales project, and to answer your question, Mrs. Landing, earlier, we're scheduled to start construction in August of next year, and so we're still in the NEPA environmental process on the project, and we hope to have that completed in October for review by the Federal Highway Administration and SEDOT, and once that review is complete, we can begin the right-of-way acquisition process and the full-blown design of the project. So this time next year, it should be under construction.
And this is the part that'll take it all the way to 6 Mile or what?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
From Hamlin Road to 6 Mile Road. And this will be the final piece that the town's been working on for about 20 years.
Wow. $14 million.
Yep. That's a big one. And then the US 17 to Rifle Range Road connector project, the design is 70% complete. Some of the items we're going to be working on this month and next month and into October is to have a public information meeting and then a public hearing, and then we'll start the right-of-way acquisition process on that. We've had some preliminary discussions with Christ Church, and we've worked closely with them because we have to acquire property from them. And so the design is 70% complete, and we're scheduled to begin construction next summer as well.
And this is the one where council realigned it so it doesn't cut through the corner of Boone Hall. Is that correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Any questions on that one?
Any questions?
Yeah. Is this the one that is close to the circle that's on Rifle Range? The roundabout that's on Rifle Range?
It's near the new circle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real close to it, but it's about a quarter mile away.
Because I had a meeting with some of the folks in 6 Mile last week. In fact, Councilman O'Rourke and I both did. And one of the things they're very concerned about and have brought up in front of this body, in front of the whole council several times, is I think this is the spot where if it could go straight off from the roundabout instead of having to come down the road and go, they're very concerned that that's just going to create a lot more traffic coming through their neighborhood, really. And so is that even in the possibility, or is that completely ruled out, and if so, why?
I think at some point we will have a fourth leg of the intersection at that roundabout that goes through the park property and attaches to this road. But I think the traffic numbers that we looked at for this new facility had quite an impact on that intersection, on this, where the roundabout is.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't necessarily the best location.
The roundabout was not.
Yes, ma'am.
For a direct tie-in.
Okay.
Plus, the location that we chose for this road conforms to the conceptual master, the park master plan. Mm-hmm. So that was the leading document that gave us direction on where to put the road.
Okay.
Any other questions on that one? It's fun just flipping through all these multi-million-dollar projects.
Yes, sir.
It's pretty amazing.
Some of the biggest things.
Park West Boulevard widening is ongoing and under construction, and it's scheduled to be completed in January of this year.
Hmm.
Progress is going fairly well. For the first full year of the project, the contractor did not have 1 week without rain. So he did get a little bit behind, but he feels he can make up for it and complete the project in January.
Wow.
That's great.
Won't that be something?
Yeah.
Huge.
All-American Boulevard, we are in the right-of-way acquisition process on that project, and we are getting ready to close on one parcel that we've acquired, and we've got four or five others that we have to acquire for that project as well.
Okay.
And then Mount Pleasant Way, that's James's project that's currently in the master plan development stage. We spoke about that one a few minutes ago. That's the large multi-use path that will go throughout town. And there's kind of the map of it. And then the Shrimp Creek Bridge bike lanes, we've submitted plans with DOT, and it's currently under review. Seems like it's been under review for a couple of years with DOT.
We've gone through four project managers. Just gives you an indication of kind of, I say this, bureaucracy of the DOT and turnover and things like that. I think I was talking to James, and we kind of feel that's cost the town probably at least 9 to 12 months. Which is cost to us, so that's another conversation that we're trying to have at the BCD COG level about them facilitating projects and not be inhibiting projects.
All right.
And then the final project update is the Park West Boulevard and Stockdale Street intersection improvements. That's for a large roundabout. And we recently received additional funding for this year to complete the design on that project. And that's what it looks like.
Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah. Since that's the final one, I was waiting to see if this would come up. So it is, once again, I believe pushed back, but the public hearing on 41 was supposed to be in August. And did I hear that that's been pushed back or no?
Right now, they're on for an August, I'm sorry, 13th, which is a Thursday, that's a week from this Thursday.
Oh, okay.
For the launch of the virtual meeting, which I think will be going for at least a month. Prior to that, there'll be some informative meetings with the mayor and some of the staff, as well as the stakeholder meeting, which the mayor sits on that committee also. And that's the day before that meeting. So next week, the preferred alternative will be known.
Okay, so I just want...
Will it be known?
Next week.
Next week?
Yeah, 13th.
Yeah. Yes, really essentially at the stakeholder meeting.
Yeah. So I just want to be on the record before that to say a couple things. Again, as somebody who drives it every single day, well, maybe not quite as much during COVID because we were all telecommuting more, but for the most part. And there's a couple things. One is there is no doubt... the traffic is heaviest by far from Joe Rouse, the continuation of Bessemer, south. And our town did a great job of proposing a solution that would not only have been a great interim step, which was a third lane south, which we already have an extensive third lane that goes way in and then, as all of us know, drive every day, merges in. To just continue that, we would not have needed any additional land. I know you might say I'm rehashing things, but here's what I want to say about it. That part of the traffic flow is by far the largest because of the fact that we're coming from Park West, Dunes West, and even Carolina, well, not Carolina Park, but definitely a substantial amount of homes, certainly all the ones off Bessemer. The part that is north of Dunes West Boulevard to the bridge, to the Wando Bridge, is also heavy. And part of that are people that come from across the bridge and then have to get to either Park West Rec for something or perhaps the hospitals or Costco or any number of other things in that direction. The part of the traffic count-wise that goes the 1 mile stretch of Phillips is not as much. Now, I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head. Y'all probably do. I just wanted on the record that I believe strongly that we could solve this without a one-size-fits-all 4 or 5 lane straight through 41. So whatever they come up with next week and whatever feedback, I think that 1 mile stretch where there's no major intersections and so forth if we could have done, and if we could still, if their direction is to go straight down 41, if that happens to be, I don't know. But if that ends up happening, if we could have found a solution or can find a solution to keep that at three lanes, so that in the event of an emergency hurricane evacuation, all three lanes could be going out, or at worst case, four, but not five. I just want to make sure it's on the record. I think we really should try very hard in the time period we're in right now to respect the historic nature of that neighborhood and to try very hard to recognize that that's not where the worst of the traffic is. Now, one last thing on that. I've heard a lot of people say, but that's not what's coming. And when you're planning roads, you've got to plan for 50 years. We don't know that, because I can tell you right now, driving down Clemens Ferry Road a lot of times, all the things that have been built along there, they didn't even have a grocery store for a long time. Now they do. Now they have all kinds of services and facilities. They certainly have their schools on that side. There's a lot of things that have happened where they don't necessarily have to come to Mount Pleasant all the time. But if they do, they're more likely going to be turning left on Dunes West Boulevard, going to some of those things. They're not all coming straight down 41. So I just wanted to be on the record that I said that, because I do believe strongly that we've got a very sensitive time period we're in, and it's really important to respect the historic nature of Mount Pleasant.
Thank you. Brad, what happened to, or did they implement, remember when the county came up with the, what was it called, a continuous?
That's an interim improvement. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And Ms. Landing is a good segue, and the mayor, to talk about that a little bit. I want to say sometime in the fall, we had a report from Cal Lawyer on the status of that. They've completed design. It's been permitted through the DOT. The bid documents are being worked on for a bid, I've been told, this month. So, and they're trying to fast track it as far as procurement goes, so that perhaps in early to mid October, that would be under construction.
What's the name of it again?
You're going to put me on the spot.
Tea, continuous green or something.
Yeah, like yeah that, it's a continuous green tea. That's
continuous
exactly.
Green tea. So
yes, sir.
Both. Okay.
Right. So that the left turn coming off of Joe Rouse essentially would have a very significant amount of green time to turn into its own dedicated lane, and it does not compete because the southbound is bypassing it on the other side, and probably ought to add 41 to an update in this series to keep us updated on that. We could show that to you, but yes, sir, that's the time frame.
Let's go ahead and add that for next month, because a lot's happening on 41. In fact, and if the record will show, that's where Councilman Chapman had to go to.
Yes, sir.
Talk with somebody about 41. Okay. Any other updates?
No, sir.
That sounds good. A lot's going to happen in the next month, and we look forward to meeting next month and picking up. Is that the end of our agenda? It is. Anything else? All right. This committee stands adjourned.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.